top-up options. This is Brock.
And this is John.
So another weird term. I guess any term that's foreign to somebody would seem odd. So what is a top-up option?
Well, I mean, there are lots of weird words in M&A. M&A jargon is a whole class unto itself here. But top-up options, it refers to an option that was put in place as a workaround for the problem of a tender offer that didn't get quite to 90%. In a couple other podcasts, we've touched on how people really want to get to 90% in a tender offer so they can do a short-form merger and not have to kind of buy the company twice. So what people would do is figure, if you get close enough, maybe we can help you get over the finish line. So if you got a certain level of acceptance, I think it was usually 50% or so, so you got a majority of the shares tendered, then the seller would agree to issue enough shares to get you to 90% so that you could do a short-form merger if you're the buyer.
And how have courts looked at these? And this is mostly Delaware courts, right,
that have weighed in? Yep, absolutely. Early on, they were the subject of a lot of challenges, and the one that seemed to get the most traction was the idea that by issuing all of these new shares, you're going to be diluting the appraisal rights of the remaining shareholders. This would arguably make the top-up option a coercive feature of the tender offer. I mean, if you don't take our offer, we're going to issue a whole bunch of shares, you're going to be diluted, and you're going to get a lot less in an appraisal proceeding. So, and that got flagged by a couple of Delaware courts. And so what people did was add provisions to the merger agreement saying that in an appraisal action, the shares that were issued as part of the top-up option would be excluded for purposes of determining the per-share fair value in an appraisal proceeding. Well, and that led to other cases saying, well, gee, can you really do that, blah, blah, blah. And I think ultimately the consensus was, yeah, you can, and that's a fix that works for the biggest issue that people identified in these deals.
And what circumstances are best suited for a top-up option to be used?
Well, the real answer is when you're extremely close to the 90% number that you need, it takes an awful lot of new shares to increase somebody's percentage ownership by 1%. In fact, the rule of thumb was that if you want to increase a bidder's percentage ownership by 1%, you had to increase the float by 10%.
Jeez. And what are problems with a top-up option?
Well, I just named the biggest one. The biggest problem is the math. Given the amount of shares that had to be issued to move the needle, companies pretty quickly figured out that they'd run into a couple of potential problems. First, there's the threshold issue of whether you have enough authorized and issued shares to meet your obligations under the top-up option that you're granting. The second thing is if the target doesn't want to get delisted, it's got to get stockholder approval when it's issuing more than 20% of the shares outstanding before the new issuance. That didn't give people an awful lot of room, and if the back-end that merger never happened, their shareholders could end up with delisted shares, could have been a breach of your listing agreement. Now, both of these problems could be addressed. You can have a meeting to amend your certificate of incorporation. You can have a meeting to approve your option. But the problem with that is they both require a shareholders meeting, which would defeat the entire purpose of the top-up option.
And how common are?
A few years ago, they were almost ubiquitous in tender offers. And we've talked about this in other podcasts, Delaware sort of came to the rescue by changing its statute to enact Section 251H, which allows short-form mergers with friendly tender offers that meet certain other conditions to be completed with whatever ownership percentage would be necessary to adopt a merger agreement at a shareholders meeting under the company's charter, and that's typically just the majority of the outstanding shares. So the use of these things has kind of fallen off a cliff, and this is really just since 2013 when they put these in place, because it's just a lot easier fix than trying to deal with the math problems associated with a top-up option. Now, again, there's still an option outside of Delaware because most states don't have a 251H-type statute. I think there's only three others, so it's still in the tool chest if you're dealing with a tender offer in another jurisdiction. But it is, since so many of these things involve Delaware companies, it's certainly not as common as it was before the statute changed.
Cool biz. Thanks very much, John.
You're welcome.